bad economic data, and the repo market did not behave on quarter end. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. Today, I bring you a quick macroeconomic update. We're going to talk about the labor market, ISM data, and we will check on SOFR and what happened there for quarter end. Now, we'll start here with the S&P 500 and the MOVE Index. S&P 500 did not have a good day today, and bond volatility spikes. I wanted to show you this relationship. Bond volatility on the right side is inverted, so that when bond volatility spikes, the orange line will go down, and stocks should follow that line down. And that's what we saw today. So this is just a trailing two-month look at bond volatility in orange, represented by the MOVE Index, and stocks in green. And you guys know, if you are watching us at the Bitcoin Layer and reading thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe, you guys understand that we are relating bond volatility and risk assets because this is the representation of liquidity. Liquidity is the ability for banks to create money. And liquidity goes up when banking assets go up. It goes up when interest rates come down because the price of those assets goes up. And also, the final picture of bond volatility is that when bond volatility goes down, the power of banks to create money goes up, and therefore risk assets go up. Therefore, one of the largest challenges to risk assets going up is the increase of bond volatility. And that is why we focus our new indicator, TBL liquidity, with the risk market, because bond volatility here, which is one of the drivers of our index, of our new metric, which combines banking assets with this construct of bond vol, the combination of banking assets and bond volatility has predictive power over risk assets, including stocks and including Bitcoin. And so in our science, we must look at bond volatility first and foremost, banking assets and the size of banking balance sheets first and foremost, to guide us on where risk is going. So today, what you have is a reversal, and I want to zoom into today just to show you this relationship on a zoomed in basis, that today there was a challenge to bond volatility because risk was introduced to the market. Right, we had war escalating in the Middle East. It's been going on for a year now, but an escalation today broadly increased volatility. Risk was challenged today. We saw stocks and Bitcoin put in a poor performance. And so once we take a step back from the zoomed in perspective and we zoom out, we can generally assess our situation. Where is the size of bank balance sheets going? We believe it's going up as you head into an easing cycle. Where is bond volatility? We believe it's going down as you get more certainty on the path of interest rates. But on a one-day basis with a spike in volatility, you can understand then why risk performs poorly, why Bitcoin goes down, and why Bitcoin has a bad day on a day like today. Just understand the framework. And you can do that by subscribing to our publication, thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe, but also just continuing to watch these videos, these global macro updates that we do, reading our free report. So you can find our free report linked here. And in this free report, we go through the construction of our index. So please do that. Download this report that is co-presented with Unchained and understand what moves the price of Bitcoin, right? Zoomed out, we know that adoption is going to move the price of Bitcoin. But zoomed in, it's all these global macro factors. So learn what we're trying to construct here with TBL liquidity. by downloading this free report. The Bitcoin Layer is sponsored by Unchained, the undisputed leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with collaborative multi-sig vaults, in which you own 2 of 3 keys and you gain a Bitcoin security partner. You can purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage via Unchained's trading desk and eliminate all exchange risks. Unchained also offers the best IRA in the industry, where you can convert your existing 401ks or retirement accounts to Unchained, all while keeping control of your Bitcoin private keys. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Talk to Unchained today. Go to unchained.com/TBL for $100 off when you sign up. Ifani is a secure mobile carrier that helps prevent SIM swaps. SIM swaps are sophisticated social engineering attacks in which hackers steal your phone number by gaining access to your information. Ifani lets you sign up with AT&T or Verizon through them, but Ifani protects your mobile number from being stolen by hackers. So make sure you're protecting those online accounts. Go to ifani.com/TBL for $99 off when you sign up. All right, the second chart here gets into the economic data that we got from today. So in the U.S. economy, we saw JOLTS data and ISM manufacturing. You guys know these are two of our favorite economic indicators. They're two of the highest signal indicators. They come right at the beginning of the month. What we saw from the JOLTS data is a little pop in the blue number, which is the headline openings. So when we say JOLTS, what we're talking about is the number of job openings. We saw a little bit of an increase in job listings to above 8 million. The expectation was in the 7 million range. Now, what we want to zoom in on here is the quits rate. So this is the 3 million number here, and I'm going to go to the next chart to show you only quits. Now, quits fell to just above 3 million, and I have here 10-year trailing rate of quits, and you could see this trend for the last 4 years. What quits represent, and Jerome Powell has talked about this too in his press conferences earlier this year, which was a clear signal to us that he was going to cut rates. When he started mentioning quits, it was game over. And you can go back and check the record. We were talking about this all year long. Quits plummeting does what? If you are less willing to quit your job, what are you thinking about the labor market? That you're not going to be able to get another job. Now, considering the mediocre economy and the wave of AI going through, in which every large company is really considering that next hire, that how can automation actually help us avoid hiring another human? The quits rate is plunging. And so quits is an excellent indicator of the health of the labor market, because it really represents that fear component. You only quit if you're confident. And so from 2020 to 2021, quits went straight up because people knew they could get another job. They were finding their new employment situation, the work from home, the new gig economy. All of these factors spiked quits. Now quits are on a one-way track down, and it's a very telling sign. It basically confirms to us once again that the cutting cycle, it's not going to be short. It's going to last, because if Powell is looking at quits, you're going to need a significant bounce in quits for him to say, okay, we're actually done cutting. They just started cutting. And the Fed doesn't pivot quickly. They pivot very slowly. So now they're going with cuts. This easing cycle is going to last. It's also going to get going into 2025, kicking off a liquidity positive cycle, which directly impacts Bitcoin. So we are looking for And remember here that we're the Bitcoin layer. We're not the S&P 500 layer. So our model is constructed versus the S&P. Let's get that clear. It's not constructed versus Bitcoin. We don't have enough evidence for Bitcoin. But we have evidence of a relationship between the S&P 500 and Bitcoin that is substantial, and it cycles up and down, but it's substantial enough to make us confident that the construction of the index with TBL liquidity versus Bitcoin, TBL liquidity versus the S&P 500 is the correct way to measure how we are basically correlating the inputs, which are bank assets, treasury yields, and bond volatility, how we're relating those to the overall risk sentiment. We're doing that via the S&P 500. But at the Bitcoin layer, we are more focused on the index itself, which is bond volatility and banking asset driven, for its impact on Bitcoin, not stocks. So stocks and Bitcoin could decouple, they could have a weakening relationship, or they can have a continuing strong relationship. Our mission is to have the output be the effect in the short term of macro on Bitcoin. The second economic data print that hit was ISM manufacturing. Now, ISM services will hit here on Thursday, October 3rd. Today is Tuesday, October 1st. We had only one half of the whole ISM picture, but we had a weak ISM manufacturing headline number. So there was no increase from the 47 area from last month. And then the manufacturing employment subcomponent, which we show here in red, dipped back down again this month to 43.9, a very weak employment subprint. Very, very weak. And so the messaging here from the labor market is of a weak situation. And we know that the Fed is trying to get ahead of the game. We're not in recession. We're far from it. GDP is around 3%. But the employment situation is sour to the point that the monetary easing, or the lack of restriction, so getting from 5.5 to 3.5, becomes urgent. I'm going to show you at the end of this video a picture of where policy rates are priced. But spoiler alert, they are heading to 3%. And so the path here, we just came down below 5 from 5.5. They're going to go from 5 to 4 pretty quickly. And then they're going to go from 4 to 3 probably quicker than even the market expects. And that's going to be our assumption here. So we told you they were going to cut rates at the beginning of the year. We thought it was going to happen in June. It's happening in September. Now we're looking way past the cutting cycle, which has already commenced. To now, where's the end of the cutting cycle? Well, the end of the cutting cycle to us won't happen until there's a 2 handle in front of the SOFR rate, which means the repo rate, the overnight rate, the Fed funds rate. So right now, Fed funds went from a 5 handle to a 4 handle. They're going to go to a 3 handle. And then I do believe they will ultimately be going to the 2 handle. So that's the outlook here over the next year plus on the policy rate front. Now, what else did we get? We got the subcomponent of the inflation side from manufacturing, which is prices paid. Now, prices paid from manufacturing is represented here in orange, and we have that overlaid with CPI in green, so you can see CPI has been trending down. A very weak print again with ISM manufacturing. So the worry about an uptick in inflation here is, at least on the manufacturing side, going to take a breather for another month because inflation isn't showing any life here from the ISM manufacturing prices paid subcomponent, which again, if you guys are following us, you know, we think there's so much noise out there. That's why you watch and listen to us and read us, because you know we're not going to cover extensively the non-farm payrolls headline print. Because when they say there were 188,000 jobs added this month, or whatever the monthly print is, first of all, that number was revised down by almost a million jobs cumulative between March and March of 23 and 24. So the numbers themselves they're subject to a massive amount of post manipulation. And so we tell you what we actually follow. And you know what CNBC will follow, or Bloomberg, or the Wall Street Journal will follow. You know what? They don't follow ISM manufacturing and ISM services that much. In fact, I was watching Bloomberg this morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time, and they went straight to JOLTS, and they went straight to the 8 million print that was above expectations. They didn't talk about quits, and they didn't talk about ISM manufacturing. And I turned it off in a few minutes because I had to go back to my charts and my data that actually mattered. So just to show you what we are covering versus what the rest of financial media covering, sometimes it's the same, sometimes it's different. But what matters to us the most, ISM prints on the first and the third business day of the month. JOLTS matters a lot. The unemployment rate matters, but average hourly earnings matters more to us than the non-farm payroll number. And those are all coming here on Friday, October 4th. So a big week for economic data. Always a big week when we have the first of the month. Let's switch gears to the U.S. Treasury market here. Looking at tens over the last year, you can see a little bit of a chop up and down, but the trend is down. Yields coming down to 3.75 today. A little bit of a bump in yields over the last few weeks as we got the rate cut finally, you know, priced into the market, and the market realizing that there's a steepening that's actually going to occur as the yield on twos comes down with rate cuts. But the caption of this chart here is that steady treasury buying despite the steeper curve. So curve is steepening out, twos tens is steepening out as twos comes down below the 10-year yield. Finally, twos are, you know, right above 3.5% here. But that doesn't mean that the 10-year yield is rising. It's not a bear steepener. It's a bull steepener. And tens are coming down alongside twos because the growth expectation on a broad basis is declining. And so we should be watching the 10-year yield for the ultimate signal on growth and inflation. Right now, it's telling us that the trend is lower. Lastly, for today's short update, we are going to stick with the money markets. My bread and butter here, this is what I started trading. My first ever trade in the financial markets was a treasury bill. So it is the short-term money markets that is my background. I started trading repo on the first day that I was trading securities. So what I was doing is investing short-term cash with a dealer, accepting treasury collateral through the tri-party market, and with using Bank of New York Mellon or State Street or JP Morgan, which back then there were three tri-party custodians, using one of these tri-party custodians to hold the collateral and make sure that both sides of the equation are protected. And that money market environment in which money market funds and short-term cash is investing cash to dealers so that dealers can warehouse treasury securities so that they can traffic treasury securities from buyers to sellers and from sellers to buyers. That is the function of a dealer. A dealer depends on repo. A dealer depends on cash. The cash is represented in this next chart, SOFR volumes. So SOFR stands for the Secured Overnight Financing Rate. Secured means secured by treasury collateral. So it's borrowing. It's secured. It's the borrowing is the financing rate. It's overnight, meaning it's a one-night loan, and it's secured by treasuries. Where does the cash come from? My former seat, money market funds. Where does it go? The dealers. Citi, Goldman, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. And these dealers are taking cash, dedicating the inventory that they have, that they want to traffic in. And that is how the money market, when you hear the term plumbing, that is what the plumbing is. It's when you hear the term wholesale finance, the wholesaling, you think of wholesaling as a warehouse with inventory. The wholesaler is the dealer. The inventory is the treasury securities, and they're financed from the money markets. So the spike yesterday is a quarter end phenomenon indeed, because that is a September 30th print at $2.5 trillion. But yes, it is alarming in that there is a crunch. There's a cash crunch here on the calendar days that the banks actually need to make sure everything looks good, that there is a crunch here in the money market that is developing. And that is the most important thing to take away from today's video. We watch SOFR because it is at the center of the plumbing. It is the warehouse. The warehouse itself is this number. This number, which is the size of the warehouse, is represented on the other side with the yield on that number. And so yesterday, the SOFR rate, which is in orange here, was 4.96, very close to the upper bound. Now, for the last year, we were trading between 5 and 5.5%. These lines, the red, purple, green, and dark blue lines, these are the policy rates. And I should actually say that the green line is not even the policy rate. It's the policy, it's the targeted rate. But the red line, the blue line, and the purple line are the actual policy rates. So they don't fluctuate. They just set, the Fed just sets a window here. And then it hopes, it actually hopes, and I mean that by every sense of the word. They say that they guide it, but actually they hope that the green line, the orange line, and the black line, which I'll explain what orange and black are in a second, but they hope that those other lines stay within the red and the blue. They actually hope. Now, you can see that the black line escaped the red line on 9/30, so that month-end print. Now, I wish, guys, that we had the October 1st numbers. We don't get them until tomorrow morning, unfortunately. So you're just going to have to subscribe to our channel. If you listen, make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform, rate and review, and then read us at thebitcoinlayers.com/subscribe. We have a free research publication for you twice a week. Now, the black line is the general collateral rate. So that's more the market rate on repo. The SOFR rate in orange is the index that's published that actually that captures all the repo transactions going on during the day. Because every repo dealer is dealing with a different money market fund investor several times over during the day. And people might get a different rate throughout the day, throughout the morning, depending on the party, depending on a lot of things. So there's a whole repo market going on. That's why the black line and the orange line, which are market repo rates, the orange line is less a market rate and more a look back average rate. But it's still an average rate, look back rate of market transactions. So they're both market rates. they both fluctuate, and you can see they stay within the band until they don't. The black line didn't stay within the band on 9:30, on quarter end, on month end. That's a problem. To be very frank, it's a problem. I wish I had 10-1 numbers so that I can tell you, okay, it's calm again. But it, of course it's going to calm down after month end because the balance sheet strike doesn't matter anymore until the next day that the regulators come in and look. The shareholders come in and look. The bosses come in and look. And everything gets published up to the regulators, basically, for capital charges. So the quarter end is that is the market. That's what people don't understand. The calendar is the market, guys. The only number that matters is the month end number. Did it stay in the band or not? And for year end, it was okay. For last, you know, for the last couple quarter ends, it was okay. It wasn't great, but it stayed within. This one was bad. So we have to now watch SOFR a lot more closely. We told you that the Fed should have done something on QT. They could have if they cut 25, but they chose to go 50. So they couldn't do both things at the same time. If this type of situation continues, they're going to have to end QT for sure in November at their next meeting. So we have to watch this very closely. An end to QT means you're one step closer to more balance sheet expansion, which will directly impact TBL liquidity for the reasons that we've stated. And again, if you want to slow it down, and I promise you, and many of you have asked, we will do a whole video guide of our report, understanding what moves Bitcoin. Okay, we'll do a whole video report, but go download that free report and get familiar with our index and our framework. It is unique. The index, the liquidity index itself is inspired by Michael Howe's liquidity index, which is asset-based. But I couldn't get the numbers myself, so I had to build something myself. So I'm using asset-based liquidity. It's not M2. It's not using Fed liabilities. Has nothing to do with reverse repo, TGA reserves, has nothing to do with deposits. It's asset side liquidity. It's a different construct. So that's what we're building. It's fascinating to us. We hope that you guys are also interested in it, and make sure you ask us your questions in the comments and so that we can answer them as we go forward. The last chart I have for you is rapid cuts. We told you they were coming. We will be below 4% on the policy rate by quarter one of next year, right? So from a five handle to a three handle in 6 months. Now, that is what I call rapid. That's what we've been calling for. It's playing out. Now, the Bitcoin layer already told you that was coming. So now it's our job to look past that. What's going to happen past March? No more cuts or more cuts? We believe more cuts. Three handle, I don't believe it's going to be enough. And I'm generally early, so take that for what you will. I don't believe a three handle will be low enough for the policy rate. That also means it's not going to be low enough for the market. The market is going to move the treasury curve below 3% eventually. And it's, honestly, it's almost there, right? The move from 3.5 to 3.75 on tens on this little sell-off here sets the table for another 75 basis point move right down to 2.99. And it'll tag it. And these things do happen quickly, so I'm not going to tell you when. When rates are ready to reprice, they don't give people time. That's why it takes so much signal from the treasury market. The investors are the fastest to reprice what is happening. Why did yields collapse from 4.5 to 3.5 in a matter of several weeks in the 10-year yield part of the curve. Because every single one of those big investors just knew that the days of 4.5% yields were over. They had to buy them. It's an urgency, actually. And there's no credit work to do. It's just time value of money. So if you see it at 4.5 and you think it's going to 3, you buy. There's no other process. And it's relative value on the curve. So there was a ton of value in fives. That's why people, they loved five. Fives were the depressed amount on the curve. They still are, but now it won't last for long because the curve is uninverting. So twos will finally fall below everything and eventually bills, and the whole curve will be steep. And we'll be talking about when the Fed will be hiking rates again. But we're not ready to get into hikes yet, guys, because it's just not, that's not a 2025 conversation. And so it's not really our business. We are here to guide you on a 3 to 12 month basis, because it's hard to take ourselves seriously if you start making calls beyond that point. We're here to narrate the transition to a more Bitcoin-centric monetary system. We believe in that on a 10 to 50 year time horizon that guides our framework. And when we see young people adopting Bitcoin, it confirms it. And on that path to Bitcoin becoming a more central part of the monetary system, we want to explain what's happening around it. So that's our mission, and I hope that you guys are finding value in that mission. Once again, please subscribe here to the channel and subscribe on audio, rate, and review. That's a huge help for us, and we'll catch you guys next time.